All right, check, check. Okay, well, welcome to Faith Baptist Church. I appreciate this opportunity to speak. As you know, I'm very new to this, and so this is how you learn, right? You grow, you mess up, you fail, you embarrass yourself, and you keep going forward. So if I mess up tonight, I trust you guys will give me the grace to continue forward. So if you guys want to join me in Psalm chapter number 13, it's funny when Pastor Paul this morning, he mentioned at one point how I can't believe he's talking about such a difficult topic on such an already gloomy day, right? And I couldn't help but chuckle inside myself because I'm like, tonight's not going to be much different than that. In Psalm 13, as you guys probably already know, it talks a lot about David and him facing such a thing as depression. And so we're going to walk through some of the thoughts and the way that he responded throughout his depression. And so it's too bad you're just going to have to deal with two messages that are doom and gloom, if you want to call it that. So I want you to imagine yourself for someone you know for the last 20 years of your working life, only making about a max of $15,000 a year, right? So I want you to think about how on earth would they be able to pay for their bills. Obviously, they wouldn't, right? And then I want you to think of that person or yourself who's only made such a little amount of money winning the lottery of like $20 million, right? And so I want you to think about the response that that person would have in winning such a thing like the lottery, right? We would expect this response of excitement and overjoyed because you went from having almost no money to now having enough money to pay your bills, right? And then if you can for a second, I want you to imagine the polar opposite response, right? If somebody were to win $20 million and they're like, it is what it is, right? Not a big deal. I'm just gonna continue on with my day like it's not that big of a deal. We would probably look at that person and we would be like, there's something clearly wrong with you, right? I mean, you just won life-changing money. When you almost made no money, why are you not responding in a different way, right? And so we see in that silly illustration how the response of that person matters when it comes to winning the lottery. And so in parallel to this unrealistic and unlikely illustration, I want us to consider this thought when it comes to the Christian life and how we respond in times of lament or even depression. I want us to understand that the way that Christians respond in times of depression matters greatly. In this psalm, we're going to briefly walk through what I want us to look at. I want us to look at what David does as he faces depression and consider the two responses that he has towards the Lord within these sorrows that he is facing. So if you guys want to read with me, Psalm chapter 13, it says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will they hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." And so as we walk through the psalm tonight, the first reality that we need to address here before we move forward in the psalm is that David was not exempt from depression, pain, and suffering. David, in verses 1 and 2, he expresses the feelings of abandonment and hopelessness that he is facing. These two verses, it gives us these four questions that David was fighting with, right? He says, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will I hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? And how long shall my enemies be exalted over me?" David is clearly expressing more than just a mere emotion of feeling a bit discouraged or down. This language being addressed here is one of deep sorrow and depression. He's doubting and wondering how long God will forget him. And to try and put this into an illustration, into perspective, if you were to imagine a set of parents, let's say, who loses a child to a tragic accident, the response that you're gonna expect from them is not gonna be one of just a little bit of disappointment. Rather, it's gonna be pure agony based on the situation that just happened. And so in this same idea, the emotions being expressed here by David is a response coming from someone who is experiencing continual daily waves of pain and a sense of hopelessness. David's circumstances led his emotions to responding as if God has indeed forgotten him, that God has hid his face from him. And this idea of forgetting and hiding his face, it portrays this idea of separation and a lack of presence and favor from God. And I can't imagine having such a response and an emotion in a situation like that. But no doubt, many Christians throughout Christian history, which we'll look at in a moment, and no doubt even some here tonight have faced such difficult moments like that. And so David, continuing in verse 2, then asked the questions, how long he shall take counsel in his soul, having sorrow in his heart daily. This idea of taking counsel in his soul is this idea of self-reliance, right? Showing us how David was in such desperation, and he truly felt as if God has forgotten him, that he was seeking how he himself had to make it better and deliver himself by his own doings and efforts. He then portrays us to how this is a daily continuance of sorrow in his heart. To then add on to what he's going through, he expresses the pressure that his enemies have been putting on him, right? David feared and he felt his enemies overtaking him. And so he not only feels abandoned by his God, but then he feels as if his enemies are overtaking him, in that God has given him his enemies the free will to just do whatever they want to do towards him. And so while we don't have a detail into what event or the set of circumstances that David found himself in when writing this psalm, whether it was during his run from King Saul or as he was fleeing from his son Absalom, the time is not something that we are definitive on. But like I said, what we can be definitive on through the language being portrayed is that David was very much, in fact, depressed. Due to both outward circumstances and inward struggles, it's very clear that he was facing depression and that he was in a place of lament. And so what's an important reality being addressed here, right? An important reality being addressed here is that even followers of God can, in fact, face depression. Oftentimes, when we consider this idea of depression, we would consider and expect this type of a response from someone who is not a follower of God, someone who doesn't know what it is to experience God's work and deliverance in their life. But if for any casual reader of the Bible even, we know that the man facing this is not in that camp, right? David is considered this man after God's own heart, someone who is close with God. Yet we clearly see that he was not exempt from the suffering of depression. And so a truth to draw from this in our own lives is that although the follower of Jesus always does have hope within it due to the work of the Savior, the reality of suffering and pain within our lives does not just dissipate because of that reality. If we were to consider some Christian history for a minute, because I know Pastor Paul loves history, I'm not a great history geek, but I did a very small, short study on this. And Charles Spurgeon, he's a well-known Christian preacher, is someone who's known for his preaching and his followership of God. But an aspect of his life that isn't highlighted as much is his struggle with depression. An article on Spurgeon's struggle with depression is shared an example of a letter that Spurgeon wrote to a friend asking to step in his place to preach a sermon because Spurgeon, felt low and weak. Spurgeon's struggle with depression was a real factor throughout his life, even as a follower of God. Now, I want us to note that Spurgeon's struggle with depression was not viewed as abnormal within Christian history. A quote made by him at one point in his ministry stated, "You are not the first child of God who has been depressed or troubled. Do not therefore think that you are quite alone in your sorrow." He made it very clear that followers of Christ are not alone within the struggle. David was not the first to feel this pain and would not be the last. And Spurgeon knew that he was not the first to struggle with this and certainly would not be the last. If we look at the life of Job even, right, we see him facing such difficult pain. And one interesting thing, I'm reading through the chronological order of the Bible, and they're placing Job very soon after the flood, right? And so we can even look all the way back post-flood, which is a very long time ago, and we can clearly see that all the way even back then, Christians were in fact facing depression. It's a very real reality. And so when we consider this idea of Christians facing such things, I fear that an error that can take place in the Christian realm regarding a believer who faces consistent depression is that we can immediately associate the struggle of depression as an evidence or result of a poor spiritual life. We may view the struggle as, oh, you just need to read your Bible more, or you just need to pray better. And I want us to be very careful in adopting such mindsets, because based on Christian history that we've briefly touched on and based on the Bible itself, those are not accurate statements to be making. Christians can live faithful, fruitful lives following Jesus and still struggle with such realities. And so question naturally arises, right? What do we do with that? You may say you've given Christian history and given Bible passage to prove how Christians can and even will struggle with depression. David, this Bible hall or famer, faced it. Spurgeon, a well-known Christian leader, faced it. So thanks for the encouragement, right? I mean, it's kind of discouraging to think if David is this man considered after God's own heart is facing it, but that kind of feels like I'm inevitably going to face it as well. But I want us to note that within the passage, that's not where the psalmist ends it, right? David, he continues and shows us that what we choose to do with such struggles matters greatly, or how we respond to such depression matters greatly. In verses 3 and 4, we see David's next move or his response to this emotional turmoil. Note what David does here in verses number 3 and 4. He says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." In verses, David, having laid the ground for what he has been facing, in verses 3 and 4, he responds in bringing his request to God. The idea of prayer, of shifting his reliance off of his power and relying on God's help. In verse 3, David's giving this plea or this request to the Lord. He says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God." This idea of calling for God's attention. David responds in his depression by pouring out his heart to God without reservation. He's combating the feelings that he is having in verse 1 of abandonment by pleading simply for God to hear him, for God to consider him. David then pleads to the Lord to lighten his eyes, lest he sleeps the sleep of death. This request is quite literally a request to be delivered from physical death itself. The phrase, "lighten mine eyes," shows us that David was so exhausted and excruciated that he felt death was drawing near by his enemies prevailing over him. He's pleading that God would deliver him lest his enemies kill him. One author stated it like this. He says, "The allusion here is probably to his exhaustion arising from trouble and despair, as if he were about to die. The sight grows dim as death approaches, and he seemed to feel that death was near." He says that unless God should interpose, the darkness would deepen and he must die. The prayer, therefore, that God would enlighten his eyes was a prayer that he would interpose and save him from the death which he felt was rapidly approaching. And so what are we seeing here in verse 3 and 4? We're seeing that David's response here in what felt like could be his final days was a response of prayer. Lifting himself and the circumstances he was in prayer to the Lord, he sought for God's deliverance. As we see David in his depression pouring out his brokenness before God, it's a challenge, I think, for us to do the same. Believers are not to pray to the Lord with reservation, holding back the pains and emotions that we are facing. We have full access and ability to pray honestly and to pray openly. David did not shy away from sharing his lament towards his God, and neither should we. God is not afraid of our sorrows, he's not afraid of our questions, and he's not even afraid of our doubts. I want us to be clear tonight as we're thinking on this response that no peace or deliverance will ever take place when we lack in prayer. If we lack in prayer and we seek our own ways to fix our brokenness, we will never find any peace, rest, or deliverance. Our first response within facing such realities like depression or even just a hard circumstance should be a response of prayer, saying, "God, I give it to you. God, I'm relying upon you." We must bring our depression under his care. And I want us to recognize that this response or this action of prayer is an action that should happen no matter what the outcome looks like. Oftentimes, I think it's easy to begin praying with an agenda, right? Like, I'm going to pray for this certain outcome and that God's going to change what I'm going through, right? We pray with this idea that when I pray, "God, please deliver me," he's just going to magically fix all of our problems. But I want us to note that David brought his sorrow, when he brought his sorrow and depression to God, we don't see this explicit moment where God delivered him from this weight and circumstance that he was facing. But we can trust that the Lord heard David and that he gave him the grace and the mercy needed to continue forward. And so whether God delivers us in this life or whether he allows it to remain and he gives us the grace necessary to walk through it, in depression or any struggle in that realm, a follower of Jesus' first response, what we're seeing here in the psalm, should be one of prayer. And then secondly and finally tonight, as the psalm does come to a close, because this is a very short psalm, in verses 5 and 6, we see this very, very radical shift from what David was expressing in the beginning of the psalm. The genre of this chapter seems to change all of a sudden, right? Because walking through the majority of the psalm, we've seen David expressing these deep, sorrowful emotions, feeling depressed, and then we see him pouring out and responding in prayer, asking God to deliver him, and then all of a sudden it seems to change. We've gone from, "How long will you forget me, O God," to, "God, you've dealt bountifully with me." And if you're just any casual reader of the Bible, you will leave reading the psalm with a level of, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? That's kind of the thought that may come into our head. How on earth can you go from one end of the spectrum to the complete polar opposite? was David insane? Was he going crazy? Was he even maybe hallucinating, right? I don't know if any of you guys have heard of The Sixth Sense, the movie, right? Movie, the whole time you think this guy's going crazy. The entire time through the ride of the movie, you're like, he must be hallucinating. Turns out the guy was just dead the whole time. A little creepy. But in this similar idea, David, he was excruciatingly exhausted, right? He was filled with depression, and so it almost seems logical maybe he was just going crazy. So that's why he was going from such a unbroken state to now all of a sudden saying, God, you've dealt bountifully with me, right? But regardless of these ideas, I think the correct response would be that David, in his depression, he shifted his mind onto God in his provisions through the depression. David responds by reminding himself of God's provisions. The first thing that we see is David responds by putting his reliance upon God through prayer, yes, and pouring out his brokenness to God. But then the second response is we see David shift his focus off of what he felt and onto God's ability to provide. When we read through the beginning of the psalm, what is David expressing, right? He says, God's forgotten me. God, if he doesn't deliver me, he's going to let me die by his enemies prevailing. This is the position that David found himself facing. But within the depression, he chooses to look at the provisions of God and through his life. And what are some of these provisions that he focuses on, right? He says he focuses on God's mercy, this idea of God's kindness and goodness in his life that he has experienced in the past. He then rejoices in God's salvation. It's this idea of being confident that God will deliver him in the future. And then he chooses to sing because God has dealt bountifully with him. We see David uses the word hath or has, which is a past tense, right? David is singing to the Lord for his past dealings of bountifulness with him. And this gives him hope for the future, because if God is faithful and he's unchanging, if he's been kind and merciful in the past, he's going to continue being kind and merciful to him now and in the future. He tethers his emotion of depression and his feelings of abandonment with the truth of God's provisions. He chose to trust in God's mercy through his depression. He chose to rejoice in the future hope of his salvation within his depression. And he chose to sing because God has dealt bountifully with him. David is renewed in his depression, not because everything was fixed, but because remembering God's provisions brought him hope. I want us to note that when David was finding hope by reflecting on God's provisions, it wasn't this idea where he was putting on this false positivity, right? Like, just smile on my face, everything is okay. My depression shouldn't be in my life, because if God's good, then I shouldn't be feeling these difficult feelings of depression. Rather, what he's doing is he's connecting his emotional turmoil with how God's provisions are still evident through them. And so it's not this idea where David needed to reject the depression he was facing as invalid. No, the emotions that David was facing are genuine struggles. And so rather than rejection, David is tethering his depressive state to how God's provisions has sustained him through it. And so within his depression, he grounded himself in the way that God has cared for him in the past, and this brings him hope for the future. And so why is this such an important response to have, right? Why is it so vital that we call to remembrance the ways in which God's care has been displayed? I fear that an easy trap to fall into when we don't tether our depressive state with the truth of how God has cared for us and provided, we can begin to believe false ideas about his care within our lives. Lies can begin to creep into our hearts, and we can begin to say things like, well, God must just enjoy my suffering. God desires my life to be filled with pain. Look at how much better everyone else around me has it. Or even to a level where we might say, God may be even unable to deliver me. And to state it as simple as possible, this is not a biblical mindset to adopt. David may have been broken and even in life-threatening situations, but he never let the pain and the fear that he was in and that was in front of him stop him from having confidence in his God. Even when he was doubting God, he still lifted himself up in prayer and he still reminded himself of truth. His depression may still be there and it may still be a daily struggle, but his hope in God's ability to deliver is what sustained him and what gave him hope. And so as we walk through, no doubt, times of depression within our own lives or just difficult circumstances, our response in such a pit should be a response of remembrance of God's faithful provisions. And so as we come into a close, because again, this is a very short psalm, and that's when everybody says amen, because they're like, you don't have to listen to me talk anymore. As we come to a close in the psalm, before we shift into our time of prayer, I want us to consider some questions based on what this psalm is communicating. As we've walked through the passage and we've seen David in his depression give these two responses, first pouring out his heart to God in prayer, and then secondly, making this intentional decision to focus on God's provisions in his life, I want to ask us the same questions. In our grieving circumstances, our sorrows, or our depression, how are we responding today as believers? I want us to consider how we personally respond, but then I want us to consider, based on what the psalm communicates, how we should respond biblically speaking. Is my first response prayer, pouring out my needs, fully rely upon him, even when I feel as if he does not hear me? And then secondly, do I remind myself of God's provisions in my depression, or do I let my depression shape my belief about God's care in my life? So as we've walked through the psalm, we've seen these two responses, right? We're supposed to pray as our first response, right? We're not supposed to go to other sources and whatnot. We're supposed to come to God and say, God, I need you. I'm pouring out my heart to you. And then secondly, within depression, we need to focus on God's provisions and how he has not only provided in the past, but how he can provide for us in the future. So this is a challenge that I just kind of is helpful for me, and I just want to be able to give that challenge to you guys as well. I'm going to go ahead and pray. We have about 20-ish minutes left, and then we will enter into our time of prayer, and Pastor Paul will come up here and do that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful that we get to just walk through your word, God. And Lord, I'm thankful that you're an approachable God. I'm thankful that you allow us to come to you even if we're doubting you, even if our emotions are telling us that you are not near. We know that we can come to you with those doubts and questions, God, because you're not afraid of them. I pray that we as followers of you would respond firstly by coming to you in prayer. And Lord, I pray that we would respond by remembering who you are, remembering your provisions in our lives, God. We love you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you do for us, and we pray these things in Christ's name.